if a publisher would want to work direct, since the printing company in China doesn't know them, they would normally demand all of the money up front. And that's a risky situation for a publisher, because if something goes wrong, and I can tell you if you try to work direct, there's a good likelihood that'll happen, then your ability to control the situation is pretty small after you've let go of all your money.
That's George Dick of Four Color Print Group. I spoke with George during IBPA's Publishing University 2018 in Austin, Texas. George is a print broker whose company prints extensively in China and Korea. He had a lot of insights about what's involved when you're printing overseas. We'll hear the whole conversation in just a few minutes, but first, let me welcome you to Inside Independent Publishing. Thanks so much for streaming in. I'm an independent publisher, and I'm your host, Peter Goodman. Inside Independent Publishing comes to you from IBPA, the Independent Book Publishers Association. IBPA's mission is to lead and serve the independent publishing community through advocacy, education, and tools for success. For more about IBPA and how it can help you be a better publisher and sell more books, whatever kind of publisher you are, go to ibpa-online.org. Right now, I'd like to answer one of the questions that a lot of publishers ask. This is from the Design Question Archive, which is hosted at IBPA Online. The question goes, are book designers given credit, that is, their names, businesses included on the copyright page or elsewhere, for children's books for which they create files, but when the cover work is provided by an illustrator and basic interior design is provided by the author? I don't recall ever seeing designers included. Thanks for that question. Here's my answer anyway, that there is no standard convention that I know of. If the designer is just assembling files and readying the material for print, well, you probably don't need to attribute them on the copyright page. But there are plenty of occasions when the designer is acknowledged for his or her contribution. In your question, you say the cover is provided by an illustrator, and the basic interior is provided by the author. So it sounds to me like the designer's work is, in this case, more the mechanical, following instructions sort of thing. Still, there are some publishers who feel all contributors to a book, including printers, should be credited. Thanks so much for your question. If you have a question for me or for anyone at IBPA, just contact us on the IBPA site, which is www.ibpa-online.org, or message us on Twitter using the handle @IBPA. Be sure to put the word podcast in the message so your question gets to the right place. In early April of 2018, I went to IBPA's annual publishing university, which was held in Austin, Texas. It was a really fabulous day and a half. It was packed with tons of publishing information. While there, I was able to speak to nearly a dozen experts and publishing industry leaders. And today's podcast features one of them, George Dick.
So I am here at PubU 2018 in Austin, Texas. I've been meeting with a lot of expert speakers and people who have interesting things to say about the world of independent publishing in the United States today. My guest is George Dick, who is president of Four Color Print Group. They are based in Louisville, Kentucky. Four Color Print Group is a print broker. They are used quite often by small presses, independent presses, who are looking to get their books printed very high quality in Asia. And that's kind of what I'd like to talk to you about today. Welcome. Thanks for coming.
Appreciate it, Peter. Glad to be here. Thanks very much.
So people do want to print in Asia because quality is good. They may have take a little bit longer to get their books, but the price is usually quite a bit less than what they can get in from printers in North America. There are some issues with printing in Asia, and I'd like to talk about that. What is your take on that of printing in Asia now? Is the market growing? Is it shrinking? And what do you think the future of it is?
Mm-hmm. Great question here. So I've been doing this since 1985, and the world of printing has changed quite a bit since then. And in the larger part, it has mostly to do with what's happened in the pre-press area, whereas we once used a lot of handwork and films and cameras. That's all changed now, and we're printing computer to plate. And so what used to be done by an army of ladies they used to call strippers, and that was no derogatory comment on their profession, but that's all done on computers now. So initially, a lot of the savings had to do with what was going on in the pre-press area. And that's now changed. So normally, all that design work is done on a computer. Our specialty is color books. That's really where the majority of the savings are when you go to print a book overseas. Picture books, coffee table books, graphic novels, you know, art books, children's books, those kinds of things are where money can be saved by printing overseas. And they have been immune to really the digital ebook revolution. There's not a lot of people that buy ebooks to read them on a computer or an e-reader like a Kindle. So the good news for me, at least, is that my business is strong. The printing market overseas is still healthy. And for a number of reasons, still there is a cost advantage, though that is starting to shift back to the United States a little bit.
Is that because labor costs overseas are increasing? China's trying to give its workers better quality of life. They're demanding it. And I guess freight has gotten up, fuel costs.
Well, it's not the freight so much. And actually, it's a common misconception that the freight would be huge, but it's really very cheap to float things across the water. And it's generally the trucking portion. Once it reaches the West Coast or the East Coast, that accounts really for a large part of the cost.
Oh, is that right?
But as you hit upon, wages are rising in China. It's not that because anyone necessarily wants to pay their workers more money. The economy is growing. This is just the same way it was as they've gone through their industrial revolution as it is, you know, in the United States in the 19th and early 20th century. So that's a good thing for the most part, certainly for the Chinese workers. And last year, I'd say wealthy enough now to start thinking more environmentally. And so they enacted a host of environmental regulations that some paper mills just chose to go out of business and shut down their capacity. And others, again, have to put on costly pollution abatement equipment. What that meant for printers is the cost of paper went up, and it went up quite substantially by 45%. So again,
in one year, 45%.
Yes, that also has to do a little bit too with a vibrant economy, a vibrant world economy. And when paper companies get a chance to raise their prices, they will do so because oftentimes they operate at a loss.
Uh-huh. Well, what is a basic rule of thumb as far as a cost differential between printing in China and, say, printing in the United States?
I mean, for a hardcover book, it used to be pretty much twice as expensive to print one of those fancy coffee table books in the U.S. versus China. I would say that gap has narrowed quite a bit, maybe more like 50% more expensive, you know, even down to 20%. And in some cases, depending on the product, I've got a manufacturer that I'm working with in the U.S. now that's offering prices that are, when you factor in freight, if the freight is close by, they can actually be on par with the Chinese prices.
Really?
So things have changed there, but the landscape is changing.
You expect there to be more North American companies that are actually able to go head-to-head with China?
I believe so. Again, the printing presses are becoming more automated. A lot of it has to
do... Quality's not an issue.
Quality is it's not an issue if everybody does their job right. So, you know, it's still important for a printing company to be managed well, It's easy to, if things aren't looked after properly, a job can be messed up just as easily in the United States as it can in China. So, you know, that's why it does help to have a good relationship with a good printer. Mistakes happen on both sides in the publishing business, and for the most part, we're all in this together, and we want to make sure we're all profitable and can sustain our business over the long term.
It's interesting to note, I think some people resist printing in China for, say, political reasons. They don't like, you know, Chinese government's authoritarian approach to freedom of speech, for example, and so they'll just rule it out. But I've heard other people say they didn't want to print in China because they didn't feel that Chinese printers exercised the same amount of control over their wastes, and they weren't as attentive to environmental concerns. What you're saying, though, is that the law in China has changed, and the printers have to be maybe as clean as American printers have to
be. Right. And the plants that I've represented have always been environmentally conscious. A good printing plant is always trying to economize. That means recycle excess paper. No one wants, you know, polluted wastewater. And so I've, you know, again, made it my business to make sure I'm working with an enlightened management team with any of the manufacturers that I work with. Now, there are some considerations, again, mostly imposed by the Chinese government on what we would call objectionable content. And that includes anything with politically sensitive references to things like the Dalai Lama, Tiananmen Square, Taiwan, maps that show Taiwan. You know, the Chinese are very sensitive to that sort of thing. So there's other good reasons why some books are not appropriate to print in China, and in which case we do a fair amount of work in South Korea. And there, things are, you know, it's a what I'm going to call a Christian democracy, and wages are a little, let's say, a little bit higher there. But again, very automated, very hardworking folks. And Korea is only 10 days from the West Coast by sea, so the extended time is not that long to print a job, you know, over in Korea as one would think.
Are you saying that it takes more or less time to get from Korea?
Korea is a little faster than China.
A little faster.
Also, the manufacturing schedule seemed to be a little quicker.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure of all the reasons for that. I think that Chinese printers have a little bit of a longer history and a larger queue of jobs waiting to be printed.
Right.
Is really the main explanation.
Yeah. Well, we had a book once that had a introduction by the Dalai Lama. He's written many introductions to many books, as you can imagine. And we sent it over, and it was rejected out of hand. They wouldn't touch it, which is okay. But you feel a little miffed when something like that happens because it seems so arbitrary and silly.
It does.
But
I mean, again,
from their perspective, that's not the case.
No, and so again, that's. You know, the freedom of speech, you know, we're taught that from the get-go in this country. And certainly, you know, we respect that, and it offends our native sensibilities here when someone tries to step on it.
Right.
So, again, that's why it's a big world. Publishers have choices. And, again, that's what my company is all about, is to find the right place for people to print their book.
Well, I would point out that there was a famous incident a couple of years ago where a very well-known Midwestern printer rejected a book from a U.S. publisher because it dealt with sexual material that it wasn't pornographic. It was just a particular subject that the workers in the plant apparently didn't feel was suitable for their children or for their own eyes. You know, people were quite upset about that.
You know, exactly. It is an interesting situation. Some of the companies that we work with are, you know, manufacture yearbooks and produce and publish yearbooks as well. And they are particularly sensitive to, it's not just the workers in the plant, but there could be a plant tour of children coming through,
right,
and they don't want any possibility of something like that upsetting one of their customers. So printing companies, I guess, you know, there is such a thing as freedom of the press. And when we say that, that means what can be published.
Right.
But if you own a printing press, you still have the right
sure
to decide what's what's suitable for you and what's not.
And I don't think anyone disputes their legal right to turn it down. It's just, well, is that really a good business decision? Because, you know, they lost a bunch of customers as a result.
Absolutely. But again, you know, there are some things that we publish, some graphic novels that definitely would fit into the category of objectionable material.
Right.
And again, our plants in Korea are, you know, happy to handle that.
Right.
And that fits that market. So again, everybody gets along.
Right. Everyone has a choice. Mm-hmm. So if someone does submit a book to you, who's the one that actually vets it and says this is going to work in China? Or is it the Chinese plant? They will look through every page and they'll decide.
They pretty much know. So yes, we do forward the files over some sample pages, whatever, and say, would this pass? And things are getting, particularly in with nudity, some people consider, you know, nude women are not such a problem. Maybe this is a male-dominated thing, but anything with what we're going to call action is definitely action depicted in a book is definitely going to be rejected by the sexual action.
Yeah, right. But you can always go to South Korea. Yeah.
But South Korea will take
care
of it.
Right. And so you have a cost savings, but then on the other hand, it's going to take longer. How much longer would people allow for?
You know, you're right. And so if you want to take advantage, you know, of the lower prices, you do have to plan out further in advance to allow for the extra time. And that can be anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks. One of the areas where we try to minimize that is we do the pre-press and the proofing here in the U.S. That's where a lot of the customer service and communication needs to be done. And once the PDFs are in the final files are approved and they're ready to print, at that point in time, it's more of just a manufacturing process. And then when we upload, it depends, again, on how busy the plant is at that point in time and getting it through shipping.
That's a good point you make. And when we have worked with your company, we have benefited from that. Not simply in terms of turnaround time, but also being able to explain to the person in the plant who is doing the pre-press work exactly what the particular issue was. So communication in English was not so much of a problem. You're a broker, and I'm sure that's one of your selling tools. As you say, we handle all the communication. You don't have to worry about it. There was someone I was talking with yesterday at the IBPA vendor room who was wondering if the if you're paying more to deal with a broker than if you were going to go with a printer directly. And I said, I don't think so. I think the brokers get paid by the printer, and it's not going to make too much of a difference. Is that right?
Well, there's a, you know, yes, I do earn a little money for what I do. So
really entitled to? Shouldn't you just give it away?
So there is a markup that I apply to the prices that come from the plant. However, because we organize ourselves in such a way that it makes the plant easy to do business with us, they give us better pricing
right.
than you would get as if you were a single publisher that just showed up on their door.
So it's kind of a wash then?
It's a bit of a wash.
Yeah.
However, there's another thing that they don't really want to get involved with. And if a publisher would want to work direct, since the printing company in China doesn't know them, they would normally demand all of the money up front. And that's a risky situation for a publisher because if something goes wrong, and I can tell you if you try to work direct, there's a good likelihood that'll happen, then your ability to control the situation is pretty small after you've let go of all your money.
Right. And you as a broker who represent lots of future business, you have a lot of leverage.
Exactly. So I can get problems rectified. I don't necessarily have to have all the money up front. The printing plants in China know me. They know I'm going to pay. So that smooths out that whole process. We also, again, consolidate the freight, so you're not just shipping a small amount. We're bringing in full containers at a time, clearing multiple jobs through customs. So ultimately, I think the buyer is going to pay less by working, you know, with a company like myself, rather than trying to work direct.
Another question that came up yesterday was stuff coming into the ports or delays, because sometimes the customs will hold a container. Your book is mixed in with a bunch of other stuff, and no fault of your own, but that other stuff may be contraband or may be suspected in some way, and so you get... you get held up with everything. How often does that happen? Is that a real concern?
It has happened. I'll tell you that with us, it doesn't happen that often because the two freight forwarders that we work with ship exclusively books. And the customs officers at the ports eventually come to know and trust repeat customers. It's almost like being TSA pre-check. It happens less often. If you're an unknown publisher and you're doing this for the first time, you can almost be guaranteed that Customs is going to hold and examine your goods.
Oh, because the name of your company is unfamiliar?
Exactly.
They don't know what's in there.
So again, with us, obviously, they can still spot examine us, but they know that, hey, every time we've looked at these guys' stuff, there's only one thing in their containers, and that's books.
Yeah. And generally, what's the route? Does stuff come into, is it Long Beach?
Mm-hmm.
Right, generally?
There's basically three ports, if you want to call it that. Long Beach, Port Elizabeth, New Jersey, which serves the East Coast and the New York area. And a lot of freight comes to Chicago, and it comes to Chicago via rail connection from either Long Beach or from Seattle. But most freight that gets distributed that comes in from Asia lands up in one of those three places.
Uh-huh. Now, how does it get to New York? Does it go through the Panama Canal then?
Normally, we send stuff through the Panama Canal, though there is a train that goes to New York. Now with the faster ships and the widened Panama Canal, we're almost able to get things there as fast, and it is less expensive, again, to float it all the way across to New York than it is to use the rail system.
You said that freight costs were going up, and that was one of the main reasons that printing in Asia was less economical, less of a savings than it had been before. Is that because of fuel or labor or railway charges or taxes?
Actually, to correct you, freight is not really going up. Freight is still stable for us right now. So, and freight has to do, you know, pretty much the price of oil is pretty stable right now. And so we're not seeing an issue with higher ocean freight and not really seeing an issue with higher trucking. Mainly to do with that's controlled by the price of oil and the world, you know, the demand and supply of ocean-going ships and sea freight.
So even if the book has to come into Los Angeles and then has to get put on a railway train and go to Chicago or New York or something, that's not going to drive the cost up and make it prohibitive.
No, because books are relatively heavy, but they are compact. So again, while they're on water or while they're riding along on steel, in a rail car, it's inexpensive to move them. So those are why those three places are the main three distribution points for books that are coming in. And we ship to customers. We have customers in every state, in every location, with every kind of storage facility, a gravel driveway, shed in the back of their house. And, we arrange for lift gates and pallet jacks and anything it takes to get the books, you know, delivered. So, that's all part of the service. And ultimately, again, the freight is not really the deciding factor. However, that said, you know, there, you know, there is, that is one place where American printers do make up a little bit against the Chinese in terms of final delivery costs. There is, there are some savings there, don't get me wrong.
Do you see North American printers, and I guess I'm including Canadian printers in it when I say that, are they, I mean, of course, they know very well that it's cheaper to print in Asia. Are they taking steps really to be a lot more competitive?
Again, everybody in the world of business is always trying to drive down their costs. And technology is helping printing companies, again, do that. And that means basically eliminating human labor. And as the labor part of the equation is, let's say, taken out of the book manufacturing process, then again, your tendency is for the pricing overseas and for the U.S. to equilibrate.
As we're speaking, it's early April, and President Trump has announced various tariffs to be applied to Chinese products. I don't think books manufactured there were among them, but the trade war seems to be heating up at the moment. Are you concerned that that might impact your business?
It's interesting that you say that. One of the, and I haven't looked over this extremely carefully, but one area of printing that that is growing, you know, quickly in the U.S. is digital printing. And digital printing presses, you know, are often made by manufacturers, and some of the parts come from Asia. And it is possible that some of those digital printing presses or I think some of the printing presses are made in Japan, and I'm not sure that's part of the situation. But they could become, you know, more expensive, which could raise the price of digital printing. Back to your original question, though, books have always been considered educational and pretty much considered duty-free, you know, across the world, really. So I don't think we're going to see books, you know, hit with a Chinese tariff, but look, anything can happen out there, and you know, we need to be prepared.
One last question: Are you kind of hedging your bets and looking for other overseas sources, say Mexico, Eastern Europe, India? What's the printing situation?
Yeah,
in those
that's
places?
A good question, and there are, you know, there are definitely printing companies in India and in South America. And Mexico, there's some in Thailand, and I have toured and visited those and keep an eye on them. Again, one of the key elements here of printing a book is obtaining the paper. And the Koreans make their paper, the Chinese make their paper, Americans make their paper. And, you know, for the most part, the difficulties of those other countries getting their paper, I think, hinder them in their development, in their ability to compete with again, what I would say, Japan also makes it paper, their own paper. Japan is now no longer a force. They were when I first started in the business.
In printing, because the cost, I imagine.
Yeah, right. The Japanese yen, when I started in 1985, was 240 to the dollar, and within a couple of years, it was 120 to the dollar, and that effectively knocked them out of the game.
Today, I think it's 106.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, thank you very much, George Dick from 4Color Print Group. Thank you very much for coming by. It's been a fascinating conversation. I'm really interested in this subject because we kind of print overseas sometimes, but I also kind of fascinated by printing and the economy and how all these little pieces work together. So thank you.
It's complex. It's been my pleasure to be here.
Thank you very much, George.
As I mentioned at the end of the interview with George Dick, I'm really fascinated by printing and about how all the pieces of our business fit together. Your print costs on a book are likely to be the single largest expenditure of your project, depending on how much you assign value, of course, to your own personal time and the life sacrifices that you made to get your book written in the first place. Printing is a rather technical area with a lot of variables that need to be controlled. And it is really quite understandable that few publishers and fewer author publishers really understand the whole process, which is why it's good to have a reliable printing partner. And this goes double when the printer is overseas, separated from you by time, by language, and even by custom. I always feel some small twinge of guilt or sadness maybe when we send books out of the USA to Asia. I'd like to keep our money here in the United States working for us. And I frankly feel a little bit even more conflicted when we send the job to China, because it's ironic that so many books that are repositories of free thought are produced in a country where free thought is highly restricted and sometimes even punishable by fine or imprisonment. But, it's really about cost, isn't it? And in our fine capitalist system, we publishers need to take in more revenue than we expend. And if we want more revenue, we can't just raise prices because American customers will not pay them. Readers and book lovers, and I include myself, are reluctant to pay what books are worth. The amount of time and labor that goes into crafting a book is enormous. But American readers think that $14.95 is as much as a fabulous 6-hour reading experience is worth. And maybe that's even too much. But these same people will easily spend that on a 2-hour Will Ferrell movie and 2 or 3 times that on a meal that obviously lasts just seconds on the tongue. I suppose it's all about what you and collectively we as a culture consider important. We see these kinds of ironic disparities everywhere, in salaries paid to longtime teachers, for example, versus what Twitter heads make right out of college. As long as we Americans resist spending money that is commensurate with the cultural value we're receiving, it will be very hard for American printers, American manufacturers of any kind, to compete. Trump sticking tariffs on Chinese imports really isn't going to change much at all. But hey, at least books, as George Dick notes, are duty-free, and the Asian print market remains strong. Well, if you agree or disagree, tweet to me using the handle @PeterGoodman or @IBPA. Just a reminder, if you're already a member of IBPA, we appreciate your support. Be sure and let us hear from you. If you'd like to learn more about IBPA or are considering joining, check out the IBPA website at ibpa-online.org. Thanks again for listening to Inside Independent Publishing. Keep your nose in that book. And as my bosses in Japan used to say, let's have publishing fun.